Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Most High Holy One, draw us to you in heart and soul. Help us to repent and to amend our lives to honor you, so we are people who produce good fruit through obedience to your word. We pray in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. In my home, we wear out CD players. We have worn out the CD portion of the CD players easily on more than a half dozen CD players. My wife and I and my two girls enjoy audio dramas. Right now, I'm listening to the Two Towers from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. Each of my girls is listening to one of the Harry Potters. And if you haven't heard Jim Dale, Jim Dale is the performer for the Harry Potter audiobooks. He was also in a number of Disney movies, like The Apple Dumpling Gang. But Jim Dale is an amazing performer. And reading these audiobooks, he has a fantastic, dramatic reading voice, and he's creating voices for each of the different characters. You should hear his Hagrid and Professor McGonagall and Dumbledore. I mean, he's an amazing, amazing performer. So we listen to these over and over. We have a number of audiobooks, the Lord of the Ring trilogy, The Hobbit, all the seven Harry Potters. We have from Focus on the Family, Anne of Green Gables, Oliver Twist, and the Chronicles of Narnia. And of Narnia stories, my favorite is The Horse and His Boy. We have a couple other sets of audiobooks too. And I've heard all these stories over and over and over numerous times. I can't count how many times I've heard them. But what I find interesting is every once in a while, I hear something I hadn't heard before. The story's words were there each time I listened, but I just did not catch it, didn't pay attention, I didn't notice it, or could be said, I wasn't ready to hear it. This summer, we have been hearing a number of the parables of Jesus. The order we looked at them and heard them was not chronological, nor was in the order they're found in the Gospels. Rather, the order was selected to build upon and to draw us to these two parables today. I encourage you to hear again the messages of these past weeks. The audio is quite good. And sometimes when hearing a message for a second time, a third time or more, new nuances will present themselves to you, jumping out to you and very well impacting you in a different way. Listen online to the sermons from our church's website. Share them with others. In particular, hear again the messages of the parables from this summer. They're pointing to today, to these two parables found in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 21. Now, Matthew 21 opens with a spectacular scene of the people waving palm branches and shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Jesus is entering Jerusalem on the back of a colt, making a very bold declaration about himself. Jesus is king, coming to claim the throne of David. In other words, Jesus is proclaiming in his action that he is the Messiah. The elders, the chief priests, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes would have none of it. Seeing the healings, hearing the teaching, witnessing many miracles, still disbelief, even hatred rising in them, plots to kill Jesus. They questioned Jesus' authority in Matthew 21 to do these things. Who gave the authority? Instead of listening, hearing, and following, they were caught up with whose authority? Can't you see? Can't you hear? The very miracles loudly proclaim that Jesus is doing these things in God's authority. These things that are so amazing, so difficult to put into words. John the Apostle said, writing his gospel, that Jesus did many other miraculous signs not recorded in this book. But the things John wrote were written that you may believe. Chief priests refused to answer the question from Jesus, so Jesus did not answer their question about authority. Instead, in response, Jesus told these two parables. The first, the two sons. One said, "I will not," and then later repented and went. The other said, "I will," and never did. Elders and chief priests, your actions and your words do not agree. You say you are following God, but your actions say otherwise. Those sinners you reject, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, they will enter the kingdom of God ahead of you. For those very same sinners repented and believed what John the Baptist was proclaiming. Words and actions. In other words, obedience. Words may be bad, but the actions were good. Or words may be good, but the actions bad. Elders and chief priests, your words are good. However, your actions are full of disobedience. This parable was preaching against the religious leaders, preaching to open their eyes, soften their hearts, and perhaps, just perhaps, to bring them to repentance. But it appears the two sons' parable did not cut deep enough. Hence, the next parable of the tenants. In a manner, the parable of the tenants of the vineyard is a short history lesson of the nation Israel. God gave Israel a good land, flowing with milk and honey. In return, the Lord desired obedience. Honor and worship the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Just as is written in the scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to preach to you, to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey, so that it may go well with you, and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. The Lord was clear from the very beginning of Israel living in the promised land. They were to obey. Yet the hearts of the people wandered. They lusted after foreign gods and turned from the true God whose mighty hand delivered them out of slavery and bondage in Egypt and brought them to this very promised land. They turned to foreign gods. Live a holy life under the Lord your God. Worship the Lord alone, God spoke to them. They just wouldn't live that way. In response, God sent prophets to remind the people to worship the Lord alone. The prophets were rejected. One after another, God sent prophets to the people, and they would not give the Lord their God the fruit, that is, their offerings and their worship, to the Lord God alone. The Lord God is the landowner in the parable. Last of all, he sent his son, the incarnation of eternal God into human flesh, a man. Do you see the history of Israel in this parable of the tenants of the vineyard? Do you see how this parable is preaching against the elders? the chief priests, the other religious leaders. In all of their posturing and parading, they were not giving the harvest to the Lord God. Now, the Son has come, and they are plotting to kill the Son. Jesus sets the leaders up. He puts them in a corner with the imagery of the parable by asking an obvious question at the end. Matthew chapter 21, verse 40. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants? These leaders, the elders, chief priests, Sadducees, Pharisees, they could answer no other way than Matthew 21, verse 41. He will bring those wretches to a wretched end, and he will rent out the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time. They're proclaiming their own sentence on their own behavior. Jesus reaches back into Scripture, Psalm 118. Now, to increase your understanding a little more, Psalm 118, verse 14. The verse right before we heard this morning, we began at verse 15, but verse 14. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. That word salvation is in this Psalm 118 various many times. It's a psalm about salvation. Here's some short snippets from Psalm 118. The Lord has done mighty things. I will not die but live. Open for me the gates of righteousness. I will give you thanks for you answered me. You have become my salvation. And then right after, you have become my salvation, is the portion Jesus quotes. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Make that connection in your mind and in your heart. Jesus is very clear to the religious leaders with these two parables. They thought they are doing the work of God. Instead, Jesus is showing them they are not doing God's work. They are not producing a crop. The Son is sent, and they are not repenting. They are, as the parable says, plotting to kill the landowner's son. Pharisees, open your eyes and repent. Scribes, don't reject what is right before you. What they are rejecting will be the cornerstone of all the things to come. The Redeemer, the Son of the landowner, stands before them. The very Son of God is right before them. Repent and receive. But they will have none of it. So set is their heart in their own ways. Matthew 21, verses 45 and 46. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parable, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. Instead of repenting and believing, they plotted to arrest Jesus with the intention of silencing him by death. They would not allow the words of Christ to penetrate and change them. Through this summer, Jesus' parables, you have heard them, and there was preached with words meant to penetrate into your heart and change you, transform you, make you different from the ways of the world. Are these words being preached having their effect in you? Words meant to draw you deeper into Christ by drawing you into a deeper obedience to God the Father. Look at Christ Jesus. Look to his perfect obedience. Yet, we shun obedience. We call it legalism. We call it works righteousness instead of seeing what it truly is. Listen closely. seeing what it truly is, God's grace working in you to transform you to be more like Christ. And this very much involves obedience. Authentic Christianity really is measured in terms of obedience to God. Instead of listening and obeying the faith, people push back. Don't tell me what I am to do. Don't tell me I have to. Particularly when preaching is about tithing and whole life stewardship, or when preaching is about forgiving others, that person who you said, I will never forgive them. Well, the Word of God says, forgive them. Or when preaching is a calling to live holy lives. Or preaching that intimacy is meant only for marriage. And marriage was given by God for one man, one woman, united together in that holy covenant, so much so they become one flesh. The pushbacks are signs of a rebellious heart that has not taken in this most fundamental aspect of faith, obedience. A person takes lessons. And you have an instructor teaching you. This is the way to hold the golf club. This is the way to do position number one in ballet. The firearm is always pointed downrange. Kick with this part of the foot. Tumble this way. All words meant to improve your ability, and all words spoken with expectation that you will follow them exactly. In other words, you will obey them. Obedience is the key to learning from an instructor. This is how you drive a car. Obey the instructions. Why then, when it comes to the faith, obedience functions in our heart more of a pick and choose instead of full obedience? What we like, we'll do. What we don't like, we'll ignore. Rationalize with words such as, that is so old-fashioned, no longer pertains, for they, living way back then, do not know, do not understand what we know today. When the workers in the vineyard, those tenants, saw the sun. Think on that, they saw the sun. Prophesies in the scriptures, signs of the times, Jesus' miracles, Jesus' teaching, the testimony of John the Baptist, all of them taken together for those religious leaders to see. All of them pointing in one direction to bring about one conclusion. This is the Son of God. Nicodemus the Pharisee saw, and he came to the Son of God. He was there with Joseph of Arimathea, taking Jesus down from the cross and placing his body in the tomb. Nicodemus saw, and he came to the Son. The other Pharisees had the exact same opportunity. Instead, they plot the death of the Son, Jesus. So smug in their own ways, they would not repent, they would not believe, they would not heed the warnings. Instead of repenting, they plot murder. You and I have the Word of God to read. We have opportunities to hear the Word of God preached. And as it says in the Small Catechism, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not despise preaching and His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Learn the faith. Learn the faith so that you can live the faith. Fruits of the faith belong to God. Faith is really responding in obedience to the Word of God the gospel of Jesus Christ, repenting of the old life and turning to that new life in Christ Jesus. That new life is experienced through obedience. Loving the Lord God, reverencing the Lord God, living daily in obedience and worship of the Lord God, becoming Christ-like in heart, mind, and soul. I give you Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 to close this morning and hear about Christ's obedience. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, and here's the key, and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Here's the result. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen and amen.